What are we talking about today?
So I've got two things. I thought we could talk a little bit. Well, I actually have a few things. So the two posts that I put up just in the last couple of days.
When did the baseball update go up? That wasn't up this morning.
It actually just went up today. I had it ready to go yesterday, So anyway,
that's why it's out of order. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so we went to the State Park Buffet on.
What was the local dish?
Well, I didn't see the menu. It's funny because you had said that it would be funny if it turned out that the local dish, like, it just happened to be fried chicken at each one of the buffets for the Easter buffet.
Right.
And I did notice they did have fried chicken at the Mother's Day buffet. So it did make me wonder, like, I wonder if this is local, if it was listed as the local dish or something like that. But I don't know. I didn't see the menu in advance, but it was excellent. And in fact, they'd introduced a new feature from the last several years, which I was excited to tell you about. I don't have a picture of this, but okay. So when you walk into Penny Royal, when you walk into the lodge building, you know, they have a lobby area first, and then you drift back to the,
right.
Like you walk in and then you drift back and the dining room is back and off to the left. Well, over to the right, because Mother's Day, they have such a big crowd, and this is probably true at Easter. We don't go on Easter, but on Mother's Day, they have such a big crowd that they set up a lot of extra seating in their lobby area.
Oh, okay.
And that's always been true. But this year, they had big cheese balls out in the lobby area.
There you go.
They were excellent. They were excellent cheese
balls. I have to say, the pictures made me laugh because they're so blurry. All with the fish. And I thought it's like undercover reporting. Although I can't quite make out what that pink thing is in the dessert table, but it intrigues me. Is it like a strawberry cake or something?
So let me take a look at this. Okay, so let's see. Moving from the top. So okay, on the Heath. Okay, so we have this blog. That's Matthew and I'm Eric, and we have this blog called The Heath Post. And if you go to heathpost.com. So then there on the May 16th, there's a post called Oh Kentucky. And so there's these pictures. Okay. The top picture that is in the dining room, and that's the big cheese board.
Okay.
And they also had, if you'll notice back there, back in the back right corner, that's actually ham. I was going to ask you,
is that just like cut ham?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like shredded ham.
Shredded ham.
Yeah.
Okay.
I ate a bunch of that.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so then the next picture is the main bar, okay?
Right.
And it's all salad down at the left end.
I'm curious about this. Why is everybody only on one side?
You know what? It did seem staged, and it's odd that there was nobody on that side at that moment because people had been using both sides up until then. But for whatever reason, this particular family, they all went to that side. So I don't know what that was about. But and that one's very blurry, of course, because I was really nervous taking these pictures because people were looking at me taking pictures. And
sure.
And so then there's the big picture of the fried fish, which was just, oh my gosh, I ate so much fried fish. Okay. Okay. So the pink thing is a strawberry cake in the first picture of dessert.
That would be good.
Yeah, it was good.
I would have gone for the chocolate pie probably.
Yeah. So I actually,
did you go for the spice cake just to see if it was any better?
I didn't go for the spice cake this time, but what I did go for, if you'll see there in the bottom, is they had a carrot cake this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I like a little carrot cake. And so I got a small piece of carrot cake, which was quite good. Big, heavy cream cheese icing. I like that. And then I also got ice cream. They have an ice cream machine, which is not pictured. But anyway, so I got the soft serve ice cream with some caramel sauce and nuts on them. It was quite good. And then the next, and here I have been talking all big about their banana pudding. Yeah. And I didn't even get any this time. I just wasn't in the mood for whatever reason. But anyway, that's the big vat of banana pudding.
What was the sugar-free dish? It looks like a lemon pie or something.
Yeah, exactly. Those poor people. Okay. I mean, they just totally stick them. I mean, not only can they not eat sugar, then they give them a lemon pie.
Lemon pie is great. You don't like lemon pie?
I mean, it's fine. But when you're offering chocolate pie and carrot cake and pudding and ice cream. And then these, you know, the poor people who can't eat sugar, you give them one choice, and it's maybe there were more choices, but in any event, yeah, the poor lemon pie. But the star of the show for me, and we just love it every time. It just makes me feel great to go there.
Sure.
And I just like the setting. It's like, you know, it's like Kentucky Disney World to go to the state parks for the big buffets. It's just, you feel like you're in a totally relaxed world. And it was fantastic. And the cheese ball. So the cheese ball was a cream cheese base. Nice.
Those are good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never had one. I had never had a cream cheese base cheese ball, but this had real bacon and then cream cheese was predominant, and then chives and shredded cheddar in it too.
I have to say, when it comes to cheese balls, I'm not big on meat in cheese balls.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
That's just me.
You're so cleanliness oriented. It seems like that you would have a little bit of, you would worry about the meat. It seems like to me, you know, like if you can't clearly see it. But
I just don't. The shredded ham, I'm all over that. You know.
Yeah.
But there's something about a cheese ball. I prefer it. I like it better when it's like olives or pineapple and nuts just something kind of different.
Because
the meat almost, especially something like bacon, it'll almost overwhelm everything else in the cheese ball.
Yeah.
You know? So you end up with this, I don't know. That's just me. You don't, there's no subtleness to it anymore, it seems like.
Right. Right.
But. Of course, now we're getting really picky. The gift shop open?
The gift shop was open. So how Penny Royal does its gift shop now is that it's open, as far as I know, it's open all the time, actually. But the deal is it's not staff. They don't have someone in there. You just pay. It's like right off of the
And then you go to the main desk. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And we bought some stuff. My daughter bought a fabric snake, and I think we actually bought a gift too. So I think we bought a gift for somebody.
You know, it'd be nice if we could keep those jobs, just to have somebody staffed in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Part-time work's hard to come by.
Yeah. One of my college teachers, his wife managed the gift shop for years and years at Barron River in outside of Glasgow. And anyway, that was a great job. I mean, she loved it. And yeah, that was a good job for a lot of years. But yeah, I don't know if that's common. I don't know how many of them are staffed now or not. But yeah, the one at Penny Royal anyway. But it's, I mean, you know, they still have quite a bit of stuff in there. I don't know if that's. Yeah. So anyway, we purchased from it. So anyway, I was very excited to be able to go, and the whole time I was thinking about the podcast and thinking about our conversation, and that was a lot of fun. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
The other thing in that story, I don't know, have you looked at all at, have you been, I'm sure that each state kind of has its own version of this, but have you seen the study from the American Medical Association about life expectancy?
I didn't read it. I saw the link you had, but I hadn't looked at I hadn't read the story yet.
Yeah. So it's stunning. I mean, it's a stunning story, and you can't, the Atlantic has a story on it that's pretty, you know, fairly detailed in terms of summarizing the study. The study itself, you can't get into without a subscription, of course. But the deal is that, let's see, what was the range? So the lowest life expectancy, what would be your guess as far as where what state has the county with the lowest life expectancy in 2014?
Probably Mississippi.
So I think that's a good guess. It's South Dakota. It's on the Native American reservation.
Sure. That would
be. Yeah. A Lakota.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So 66.8 years old.
What's the average?
So the average in the United States has actually gone up from 1980 to 2014. It's now, or in 2014, it's 79.1. They say it's gone down a little bit since then, actually. But anyway, it was 79.1 in 2014. And that's up from 73.8 overall in 1980. So the low in the United States for a county is that county in South Dakota at 66.8. The highs are in the three longest living counties were all in, this is from the Atlantic story. The three longest living counties were all in Colorado, Summit, Eagle, and Pitkin. That's where Vail, they're kind of the, okay, yeah, sure, exactly, yeah. Wealthy and outdoorsy and all that kind of stuff. Right. And it's about 86 years old.
86?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So from...
Really?
Yeah. So you got a almost a 20-year
wow.
span.
That's depending crazy. On where
yeah. So it was really interesting to see, you know, and they've just got the data, right? So they, I guess they're still, you know, from here you do a lot of additional research about what are all the reasons behind the data. But the different, one of the things they talked about is that like, and this is specific to these. So, so the deal is that there's 10, the 10 counties that experienced the largest decline from 1980 to 2014, eight of them are in Eastern Kentucky. And so there's a lot of things going on there, that they think, they wrap up, drugs.
Yeah, I was going to say,
That's a big part of it. A big part of it is just healthy people leaving. Healthy people moving to other parts of the country for jobs or whatnot, leaving behind kind of high-risk people, which makes a lot of sense, you know? Yeah, there's going to be a...
No, that does make sense.
Yeah. So that was a big factor. And then... but then there's other things, like they said, but there's... So opioids is a big part of it, but they also think that diet and financial strain, financial stress, are big parts. They heart disease. There's the Atlantic story says that more that in parts of Appalachia there are more people dying of heart disease now than there were in 1980. So it's pretty.
That's odd.
It's just crazy. It's
I wouldn't have thought that, for sure.
Right. So, particularly given how much better the treatment is of any sort of heart attack, you know, like
well,
when we
screening
were
screening and, yes. you know, everything. I mean, there's so much more on top of it now.
Oh, Rachel always
that's interesting.
Rachel always does talk about how, like, you know, when she was a kid, if somebody had a heart attack, you know, like if you heard about, you know, some friend's parent had a heart attack, they were dead, you know, they were gone.
Sure.
Whereas now, you know, they come home, they're back at work, like within a couple of days.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, yeah, it's interesting.
So that's pretty chilling. But then, So in that same O Kentucky Post today, I was reading the story in the from the Middlesboro Mall, and like within one hour at the Middlesboro Mall, like one day last week, there were like the police were called to like two overdoses ongoing, like where people had kids in the car and that sort of thing, like on the parking lot of the mall, and that's, you know, deep southeastern Kentucky, and
sure.
And then there was some other a shoplifting thing that was connected to drugs too. Anyway, crazy.
That's
so
depressing.
Yeah, it is depressing, and I feel like I'm.
Yeah, I found that to be a depressing story.
But the State Park.
That's why I only commented on the buffet pictures. That's right. Yeah.
The State Park buffet. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought Rand Paul. I thought that was interesting. Just his,
yeah. He's
just his response.
I mean, he has been beating that drum for a long time now. I mean, he's been very consistent about that. I was certainly. I'll just keep saying it. I mean, I'm certainly not a Rand Paul supporter, but I will give him credit. He has been. his thing about the incarceration rates and the racial disparity on that, and the kind of like treating the nation's drug epidemic as a criminal thing, as opposed to a health crisis, like he says it should be. He has been saying that. I mean, he said it all the way through his presidential campaign.
You know? No, he's been on top of that since the first day he got into office, it seems like. And that's it's similar. I mean, that and the war stuff, you know, anti-war stuff. He's been on those two fronts pretty heavy from day one. So
he's pretty consistent. I mean, in terms of who he is, you know, in terms of who he is, he's pretty consistent. And I'm frustrated with him about other things. But I will say, you know, and those sorts of things, for him to be saying those in the rooms that he was saying them in, where he was trying to raise money for his presidential campaign. I mean, that was countercultural. Yeah. So there's political courage there. So anyway, he keeps on beating that drum. Good for him. So that's that. And I mean, I don't want to dominate. I don't know if you're interested in hearing some more 1971 baseball stuff. Well, but I am.
There was one thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
It's just a break. Because I hadn't written about this, and I don't know that I will.
Yeah.
Because I'm too lazy these days. But
you've had visitors.
Well, too. I'm just kind of lazy. But I haven't done a cycling update.
Oh, yeah.
That's good when you get something. I hate these pop-up videos that play, you know, without you touching anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's always good. So that'll be a nice piece right in the middle of the
I didn't hear it.
Oh, good. That's good. It was very loud on my end.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's not looking too good for the Americans this year. We'll just put it that way. So.
Well, what's the deal? Like, so where are we in the race season? And
so we've had the spring races, like the Paris-Roubaix and Tour of Flanders and all those guys, the classics, as they're called, the spring classics.
Right.
They were in some ways kind of boring this year because so many of the same old names are winning races and you kind of wonder about it. And then, but we're in the Tour of Italy right now, the Giro d'Italia.
Okay.
And there's this one American, TJ Van Garderen, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's been the American hopeful now for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
He's been the leader on the BMC team now. This year, he's the sole leader on the BMC team at the Giro. And they had their first big mountain stage yesterday that had any kind of impact on the overall. And, of course, he cracked and fell back to, like, 15th overall. So he's done. And yeah, it's just kind of disappointing. There's just not really any kind of American presence. There's not. It's been a good race. The Giro has. They've had some fun stages to follow, but I guess what I'm finding is with no U.S. presence, really, it's hard for me to stay that interested because I root for those guys.
Yeah, I totally understand. I mean, I'm the same way with Olympic stuff. I mean, it's not like I'm like some big, you know, whatever. It's not like I'm not interested in people from other countries, but I do the same thing. I've got to have like some kind of local rooting interest, you know?
Yeah. So that's one reason why I haven't written about it much this year. And I'll probably try to do a wrap up after the Giro and leading into the Tour de France. But just for those listeners who are interested, the Giro is out there. It's happening. So I've been watching it, but just not writing about it.
How do you watch it?
I can't live stream it. Well, you can sort of live stream it if you go to YouTube during the stage. There's people who are doing live streams now.
Okay.
You know, like a camera at their TV. sort of thing.
Wow.
But generally, I've just been reading it, you know, following it through text and watching highlights afterwards.
Okay.
I forget who has the U.S. contract right now. It's a streaming service. You know, have you ever heard of Sling
yeah,
TV?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's a similar service to Sling, that won the contract to do all the cycling stuff.
Okay.
Trying to think of the name of the company. Fubo TV.
Oh, yeah, I actually have heard of
them. I've never heard of them. So Fubo.TV.
Yeah, I watched something through them. I don't know what I, you know, it's probably right out of the Olympics, and I got, thought I was going to like become a huge, you know, bobsled fan or something like that, but whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I watched something from there.
The problem is you still have to pay, you know, the full $35 to get all the channels you need.
Yeah.
So
that's rough.
Yeah. So, and that's, and to get the cycling package, like to watch the Giro, you have to pay an extra $9.
Oh, man.
So you have to lay out the $35.
That's plus ridiculous.
Plus the $9 just for the Giro. Yeah. So
that's a lot of money.
Yeah. So.
Jeez.
It's, yeah. Well, it kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Okay. In Canada, though, for $25, you could just get the cycling coverage for the whole year. So that would be pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
An annual subscription for $25. Now that's
It's $25. I assume it's $25 a month, right?
Oh, it's per month.
I would assume. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow. That's my cycling update.
There will come a day, you know, somewhere either in our lifetimes or in heaven, where everything will just be totally a la carte. I mean, it's got to – it just doesn't
– it's the threat that's out there. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever happen or not, but
– maybe it won't. I don't know.
I think ultimately that's what a lot of people hope will be the future. But I just don't know if it's ever going to be realistic.
Yeah.
You know, because you need to, I mean, you know, to create the content, you need money up front, which means you kind of need, you know, you need people to have bought into this, to it, right? Like you need subscribers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't all fit together. It, you know, it's just one of those things from a consumer standpoint. You buy everything else, you know. You don't buy a subscription to the grocery store. You buy individual products that are sold from the grocery store. And it just, it's curious. You know, it just feels like an anachronism to have to sign up for the slate of content as opposed to, well, I want, you know, Disney Junior and X. But anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and what's funny to me is there's still so many things that aren't available that I know people would pay for. Like...
Yeah.
Every Christmas, there's a movie that I want to watch called The Christmas List. It's an old Mimi Rogers Christmas movie I think ABC Family did a long time ago. And it's not available anywhere. You can't get it on DVD. You can't find anywhere for streaming. And every year it pops up magically on YouTube right around Christmas, you know, long enough for you to watch it if you're watching for it.
Yeah.
And there's it's always... gets thousands of views, and it's always gets comments like, why can't I find this anywhere for streaming?
That's really odd. How interesting.
And it kind of makes you wonder. I always wonder what the deal is behind the scenes with this stuff.
Yeah. Like,
but
yeah, I've got a friend of mine, a Facebook friend, guy I went to college with, and he is always, he actually wrote a book, a book about, it's called Cutting the Cord or something like that, but it's about going to no cable and, you know, that sort of thing. And right. So he's like really hip to all, and he runs a blog about it. And so he stays very in the know about whole. Yeah. And, so like whenever there's an actor who dies, he's always like calling up, recalling their roles in some movies that you can't see anymore. You know, like he's just really into all that stuff. Anyway, that's.
Well, even some really well-known movies, like the movie Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
For instance.
Yeah.
So from what I can understand, the movie Better Off Dead is owned by, you know, like Turner Movie Classics or American Classic Movie, one of those type deals. And so it's just not available because they, I guess they just keep all their stuff to loan, you know, to rent out for networks to show on TV. And so you can't buy it on DVD. You can't get it through streaming. You know, it's just, and I mean, you know, it's, you certainly could find an audience for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you threw it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like people wouldn't watch it. So.
Right.
I don't know. It's strange to me. So. So looking okay, at gonna... this. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, looking at this baseball post.
Yeah.
So what are people saying about the Giants? Are they just considering this a done deal at this point? I mean, they're nine games up.
Yeah. I know. They're amazing. Well, they've got this, like, you know, they've got Bobby Bonds at the start of what could be a fantastic career. And then they got Willie Mays, who's like we talked about last week. So, yeah, they're rocking. And the Mets just swept the Cardinals in a series. Tom Seaver, the series opened with a Tom Seaver Bob Gibson matchup, and the Mets just shelled Bob Gibson, and then they went on to sweep a 4-game series. And we talked a little bit about Boston; it's gotten hot in the AL East, and then the A's are just, they're terrific too, and so that's a lot of fun. So I wanted to tell you, and I'll wrap this up real quickly since we're getting close to the time. So on. On May 14th, the A's are playing they're playing at Kansas City, and Vida Blue is now on a streak. This is astounding to me. He was on a streak of eight straight start complete game victories. He's 8-1, and he had lost on open. Well, he lost his first game of the season. I don't think it was opening day. But anyway, he lost his first game of the season, and then he was 8-1. And he actually pitches pretty well against Kansas City, but he's pulled out after seven innings. So it's the first time after eight straight starts that he didn't finish the game. And they're down 3-0. And so then we get – the internet is just amazing. So we got play-by-play of this game is available. I guess all games or many games. Play-by-play of this game is available at baseballreference.com. So here's the A's in the top of the ninth. Okay. So we get we're gonna be facing the 3, 4, and 5 hitters. So Reggie Jackson comes up and he walks. So we got Reggie Jackson on first. And the Royals change the pitchers. Okay. So then Mike Epstein, who had just come over from Washington in a trade, and he comes up. He's the cleanup hitter, and he walks. So now we got first and second. And now the Royals go to a pitcher named Ted Abernathy, and Sal Bando comes up, and he walks. So the 3, 4, 5 hitters all walk, and the bases are loaded. And now we get Rick Monday. And Rick Monday grounds to Ted Abernathy, grounds the pitcher, and he throws out Jackson at home plate for a force out. So now we got one out. And the bases are still loaded. And now we get a pinch hitter, this guy named Steve Hovley. And Steve Hovley walks in a run. So now it's 3-1. And then Tommy Davis comes up. Tommy Davis, who had been picked up, he had had a long career. I think he'd had some batting championships. But anyway, they got him off of waivers. And Tommy Davis singles, and he knocks in Bando and Monday. And so now we've got he knocks in Bando and Monday. And so now it's 3-3. And then the Royals change pitchers again, and they get a strikeout, so there's two outs. And then Bert Campaneris comes up, and he singles home two more runs, Tommy Davis and Steve Hobley. And so the A's go on to win, big comeback win, 5-3, top of the ninth, they come up with 5 runs in the top of the ninth at Kansas City. And so the A's are now, the A's are, after that win, they're 24-12, and they are 5.5 ahead of the American League West. So it's a very happy season so far for us A's fans.
That's cool.
So fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, and I've read a little bit about Vida. So Vida Blue is just amazing so far this season. And, so I read about the society, the baseball research people, the It's SABR is the acronym. I forget what it stands for. But anyway, they've got a big bio of him. And the deal was, is I kind of had heard some of this. I knew he was a good football player in high school in Louisiana. But the deal was, is he was actually being recruited by University of Houston to play quarterback at a time like when there were no black starting quarterbacks in the South, certainly. And Notre Dame was recruiting him as a football player. And but his dad died when he was in high school, and so he felt like he needed to make money immediately for the family, and so then he went baseball. He actually preferred football, but baseball he could start making money immediately, and that's how he ends up in his baseball career. So anyway,
that's cool.
Yeah. So Vida Blue. And that's my 1971 baseball update for this podcast.
So I got a question for you.
Okay.
And I'm trying to read on this now because I really don't know. Do you know what? So I was just, when you mentioned Gibson, I thought, well, I was trying to remember his timeline, Gibson's timeline, because I was thinking, well, by that point, he's getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And then it dawned on me that, you know, then I noticed Steve Carlton on the roster. Mm-hmm. And I'd forgotten that Carlton started with St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall why he left.
Yeah.
But now that I'm reading this, they traded him to Philadelphia.
Yeah. I mean, I knew he was traded, but I think Carlton and Nolan Ryan are kind of the same boat. I mean, I think that they were both sort of regarded as these terrific physical talents, but for a long time there, the Mets and the Cardinals, respectively, were both kind of unsure that they were ever going to totally get it
together.
Well,
this one apparently is interesting. So he had a contract dispute. This is on Wikipedia.
Sure.
He had a contract dispute with the Cardinals in 1969. He made $26,000 and was holding out for $50,000.
Yeah.
Right, which is, I mean, come on. This is crazy. I'm sorry, but it's insane to think how salaries have changed in baseball.
Oh, I know.
I mean, my gosh. So in 1969, Carlton was 17-11 with a 2.17 ERA.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
He'd be at 24 years old.
Yeah.
How much? A lefty. How much money would he make today?
No kidding.
They had offered him $31,000. So he didn't show up to spring training in 1970 and then struggled in 70. He went 10-19. But that sort of broke the back of Gussie Bush, apparently. He wanted Carlton out.
Oh, okay.
So, in 71, he's with St. Louis. He'll win 20 games for St. Louis in 1971.
Yeah.
But they'll trade him at the end of the year.
So. Okay. I think he gets traded for Rick Wise. He's actually on the cover.
Yeah, you're right.
Carlton's on the cover of the 1971 current Sporting News that I'm kind of like reading at right now. Yeah, he's the cover guy. And they've got a big cover story on him. And he's like quoted all through it. So this was before he quit talking to the media.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it even refers to I'll have to look all that up, but I'll have to reread that story. Maybe I'll have that summary later, but a little more Steve Carlton continuation next week. I love the podcast. This is fun.
Yeah. Well, the baseball stuff's cool to read about. Just like it's fun to see what's happening.
Yeah,
well, and the fact that the Giants are already up 9 games, and it's weird that nobody else in the West even has a winning record.
Yeah.
So.
The Dodgers are such underachievers at this point. You know, they've been waiting for several years for like all these young guys to take off. But,
well, and what happened to Cincinnati?
Yeah, and Cincinnati's falling off the table right now.
Have you read anything about that? Like, why are they struggling so?
I haven't read anything about that. Maybe I need to.
I just wondered if in your daily stuff, if you saw something about it.
No. So what I do is that in the Chicago Tribune archives, what I do is I always read the box score of the A's game, and then I usually pick out one other box score to look at, and then I read the league summaries for the Associated Press, and kind of glance over the Cubs and the White Sox stories. But so I should know something, and I probably have, but I just haven't
paid attention. Sure.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been paying close enough attention to remember what's going on with the Reds, but I don't know if anybody's hurt. I don't think anybody is. I think everybody's pretty much playing. I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
That's my assignment for next week.
Yeah.
What's up with the Reds? What's up with the Giants and the Reds? Yeah.
I hope they have some music to talk about.
Yeah,
I've thought about starting up a new feature too.
Oh, okay, great.
That you would have fun contributing to as well, I hope, called you know how I started doing best songs?
Yeah.
This would be best music videos.
Oh, nice. Nice.
That's what I thought about starting with Burning for You as the opening, as the first video.
I'm burning.
To talk
I'm
about. Burning. In fact, that would be a good MIDI for today if I can find that one.
There you go. Yeah, if you can, I'm sure you can. That's a huge.
I would hope, right? That's a big one. So.
Yeah, it is. I'll bet it's out there. If not, you know, Don't Fear the Reaper is.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's true, and that's very recognizable. I mean, you know, Don't Fear the Reaper in the first second of the song. So
it's a great song.
Yeah,
those are two really good songs. I couldn't believe how much. When the Gin Blossoms came out, I couldn't believe, like, I love that, how much they sounded like those Blue Oyster Cult songs. You know, they were like the perfect marriage of like Blue Oyster Cult thrust into the,
you know, I don't know if I ever made that connection.
Oh man. Yeah. Like, that Found Out About You.
That's a great song.
That's a great song. The song Found Out. I mean, honestly, the next time you hear Found Out About You, just like sing like Blue Oyster, Don't Fear the Reaper to it too. I mean, they're very close. They are very close. I don't think in a bad way. I mean, I just think that, you know, I'm not saying they stole the songs or anything. It's just,
what
it totally reminded me of, which I love. I mean, I loved all the Blue Oyster Cult stuff, so I loved the Gin Blossoms even more. But I just figured those guys really liked them. So. All right, I gotta go.
Hi.
Well, this was fun. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye. See
you. Thank you.